Welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Kimber Lovett Mankiti.
I'm Wendy Papazan. Kimber, you're really squeaky.
I know, especially because we've done two episodes now. I feel like my poor voice. Yeah. Well, can one of you guys do it?
You're squeaking. That's okay. We got her, though. And I'm Seychelle Van Poole. Welcome, guys. So we are entertaining today with the other side of real estate investing, which is the cons and the pitfalls and the things you want to be aware of when you're investing in real estate. So we're going to get into that with you all. And I am reminded of one of our properties. I'm telling y'all, I think it was Snakebit, or someone put a hex on it before we bought it. Mm. If there was, and this is only one out of the many we have owned, which is the best part. Most of ours have been fantastic. But there was one property that was like, the kids ran into the garage door with the Corvette. We dug up a 40-pound underground beehive. Like, someone kept washing your hair in the kitchen sink, and it made the whole kitchen disposal explode. Like, it was like different tenants. Like, it was always one house. And yeah. I mean, you name it, it happened. And it was only this house. So we ended up selling it because we just felt like the karma was giving us the reason to do it. Yeah, we were like, this is bad karma. Someone did something to hex this house. But today we're really going to dive into what you want to know about real estate investing on the con side.
Yeah, so welcome to part two of purchasing and accumulating rental properties.
All right, now we're going to look at the other side of this, right? Because yes, there's lots of upsides and you want to go in eyes wide open for that. So it can be some of the cons. What are some of the challenges? And it can be more work, right, than you might have signed up for. It can be hands-on. It can be, right? Certainly if you are handling the property manage of it directly, because the toilet doesn't explode usually between 9 and 5.
No, it never does.
Gonna happen. It somehow never, ever works that way. No. And with college students, we learn lockouts, right, well before the days of the digital key. So, like, they were never getting locked out at, 3 o'clock on a Monday. It was always, at 1
o'clock
in the morning.
Across the street, knock, knock, knock. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Hey, we're locked out.
Sorry, we can't get in. Can you please help us? So the first one's really just understanding maintenance cost. As a landlord, you have to be prepared and have not just the cash flow from the property, right, but have the additional money set aside for those out-of-pocket maintenance expenses for your home repairs and upkeep, right? You want to understand what they are. Landlords often think about like a square footage as a model. I use sometimes a lot of where I can. I've got one property that is actually my great-grandmother's house that we bought. Aww. Many, many years ago, so to keep it in our family. But it's about 4 hours away from me. So having both the contractor, but where I can, do I have some service providers that can provide ongoing maintenance, right? So the HVAC, they're going to come in, they're going to service it, which is a cost to me, but hopefully will mitigate a big surprise out-of-pocket expense. So you want to assume that you're going to spend about $1 for every square footage per year on maintenance if you're just trying to plug something into performance and think about what you should be budgeting. It's a good number, right? So if you're renting out a 1,000-square-foot apartment, you can estimate that you're going to pay roughly $1,000 in maintenance every year. And just be prepared. It's why sometimes a condo, a upside of a condo or compartment will actually be that you've got less that you're actually going to be on the hook for. You're not like
that's Japanese real estate, real abatement. Tiny apartments. They're called compartments.
Compartments.
I like that. And, the other thing to think about too is vacancies. An extended vacancy is undoubtedly, it's one of the biggest financial risks, because if you have a mortgage on the property, you still are paying the interest, the principal, the taxes, and the insurance, whether somebody is living in the property or not. So, areas that have high rentability is something to look at, right? What are the vacancy rates, or how many properties are available versus leased out, and the areas that you're looking to purchase? And, we've got a great story with most of our tenants stay 7 to 17 years in properties. But we've definitely had some. We had two we owned in a rougher part of town, but the cash flow was amazing. And this goes back to Wendy saying, what is your risk tolerance? Well, the cash flow was awesome up until month 9 when the tenants stopped paying. And then we had to take 3 months to evict to them, and then another couple of weeks to clean it out, and then another month to rent it out. And then we were vacant for 4.5 months. And then we would rent it again, and they were great until month 9, and then they would stop paying, and then it would be again. So what looked like cash flow of 12 months was awesome actually became 4.5 months every year of nobody in it. And that cash flow got real short, real quick when that was happening. So just be aware of like the area you're moving into, what the rentals look like, what, you know, what your tenant's background is coming into it. And don't like, do not profile, do not discriminate. That's not what we're telling you to do, but just look at their financial capability to pay, because that is a part where whether somebody's in there or not, or whether somebody's paying or not, you are still on the hook for the mortgage or the payment either way.
Yeah. And the last one is just, there's a lot of other risks. I mean, first of all, it's the hassle factor. That's the thing I think most people think about when they think mm-hmm. about real estate is, ugh, I'm getting a phone call at 2 a.m. because the toilet's exploding. You're probably not going to be going over and fixing the toilet at 2 a.m, but sometimes just getting the call is enough to make you go, ugh. But then of course, delinquent tenants, people that, you know, mess your place up. The reality is, you know, we hear the horror stories of rental mm-hmm. properties. Nobody ever sits around the dinner table and talks about like how great their 17-year tenant was. Yeah. I mean,
I love
don't.
Them. So, like, we're so thankful for them. So
We hear the bad stuff. So just mm-hmm. understand like some of that noise that you might hear about it is we just tend to hear the bad stuff. And then, you know, larger economic instability. You know, I know when COVID hit, the first thing I thought of was my friend Kimber. She's got a lot of commercial properties. And, you know, if you've got a large portfolio of that, that can be kind of scary. And you know, real estate is the actual opposite of recession proof. Real estate's intimately involved with sort of what's going on in the larger financial world. And, you know, rents can go down. You know, rents can go down. I've owned property long enough where this is my second cycle of rents going down. Rents are going down in Austin right now. And that's tough. You know, you think rents are going to go up forever. So yeah, so there's plenty of other risks too.
Absolutely. So then you got to think about financing. How are you thinking about loan considerations and loan products? And this is where, right, finding a team in the area that you're investing in is important, right? Because you want to understand the products and options that are out there. For the most part, investment loans are going to require 25% equity, right, down on the purchase price, really, or the appraised value. So they get a little bump, right, depending on what that appraised value is, depending on what product you're ending up using. But it is going to require, right, outside of our new, this new multifamily, but you got to live there. If you're buying it just as an investment property, you're going to be looking at 20 to 30% down, depending on what product you're using.
Yeah. And that's just because banks want to mitigate their risk. The bank always wins, right? Yeah. No matter the economic environment, the banks always win.
They're
always going to win. And so if you've got a home that you're living in and you've got an investment property and you can only pay one of your mortgages, which one are you going to pay?
There you mm-hmm. go.
Absolutely.
You're gonna pay the one you're living in, and you're probably mm-hmm. gonna let the other one go. So there's just more risk. So mm-hmm. The bank wants you to have a lot more skin in the game, especially in a climate like this where interest rates are high, you know, economics are a little bit shaky out there.
That's right.
A friend of mine was talking with me about her executive MBA experience, and it really got me thinking. You know, it's a big investment, it's expensive, it's time consuming, and you're gambling on who you'll meet, who your professors are going to be, and what you're actually going to get out of it. Our conversation reminded me of why we created Empire Circle at Her Best Life. We flipped the script and created something really special for our experiential learners like me. While academia is absolutely important to our community as a whole, it doesn't always equate to what we need while we are building the big business in real time. With Empire Circle, you'll learn from women who've actually built the big businesses and who are still in the arena doing it. You don't have to step away. Our retreats take you to exotic locations instead of classrooms where you'll grow your revenue, hone your strategy, find your community, and expand your big, beautiful life all in real time. Why step out of your business when you can step into Empire Circle? Apply for Empire Circle now at herbestlife.com.
And thinking about like, right, you took conforming loan limits. And so 10 properties mm-hmm. is what you can have, but that's properties in your name. So if you're buying mm-hmm. properties, which has a whole different, right, both from a tax standpoint and just overall liability, depending on the rest of your portfolio, do you own them in your individual name? Do you own them in an LLC? That becomes a totally different exercise, right, when you're getting financing, when there's an LLC that's sort of holding or wants to be in the position, in that note holder position. One of our really, really the strategy we used, I think a lot of us have used, was the cash out refinance, right? So if you're coming in and you're getting, like, this became a way to fund these down payments. And so that was a lot of the strategy, especially if you were buying a depressed asset, distressed asset, then you were coming in, you were making improvements, you were stabilizing it, you got rents, right? When they gave you that rental amount, that means, right, you may have been able to refi into a different product that allows for some cash flow. And so our that was really very much our model. Stabilize the asset, get the tenant in, cash out, like, right, do the refi and put it right back in. And so that's how we kind of built up the portfolio in the early years, using the equity to help build. And then also using lines of credit, getting with banks. There's ways that as you start to build your credit worthiness and relationships, this is where local banks can be a great, great resource when they understand your vision, what you're looking to do, how you're looking to build your portfolio. You know, we have a line of credit that also really dramatically changed our ability to start to also invest in commercial and multifamily assets. And those really came out of longer-term relationships with banks.
That I think that's awesome. Huge, Kimber. Like, that's we didn't realize that, like, early on. And the other way is to think about partnering on your maybe your first investment. I know a lot of our original investments that we were involved in, we had a partner involved.
Absolutely.
And I think sometimes we think, oh, we got to do it all alone. And the reality is there's probably somebody out there who's looking for a deal. So if you have a deal, you have everything. And there's always people with money, but deals are a little harder to find.
That's right. Money finds good deals. So once you have a good deal, money tends to find its way to the deal.
I love that. You know, and then the last part you want to consider, and we'll run through some of these rather quickly for you all, but it's, you know, your expenses can vary depending on your location and the size of the property and the type of the property that you have. So we'll pop through some of these real quick of just like expenses for you to think about so that you make sure you're budgeting appropriately. But one, the first thing that I like to think about is, what's my cash reserve? What am I reserving in cash? Because usually I like to have about 6 months in cash reserves of the rent set aside for each property that we buy. Again, I'm usually on the more conservative side with this. But I like to have kind of a cash
buffer. But Seychelle, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that for every property. If you had 50 properties, you wouldn't have 6 months of cash reserve for every property, would you?
No, but I probably would have at least three. Yeah, I would. But that's because I got in an 06. I saw a lot of my friends lose their shirts. Like, I'm going to be the, you know, and like in real estate right now, we're in real estate in a tough market. What happens? Rents are going down. Real estate is down, right? Like, a lot of our partnerships and our businesses are down. And so you need cash all at the same time in all of your businesses, right? Like, other businesses need cash calls. If you don't have a decent cash buffer, you can really hose yourself. And so I'm going to be more conservative on that
because I want to sleep. Did you just use a 90s term on the podcast?
Is that a thing? I mean, I am.
Yes, she did. She's like, I am a product of.
Is that a thing? I thought that was a thing. Oh, man. I'm always making up phrases. That's a thing, right? It's a thing?
Host it works yourself. Totally. Yeah.
I just haven't heard it in a while.
You're bringing welcome. It back. I'm bringing it back.
Yeah. Hey, mid-90s are in style. Quinn is dressing.
It's true.
And very mid-90s right now. And I'm like, what is happening? She's like, you threw away all your Doc Martens and stuff. I'm like, what do you want me to do with them? I digress. So some of your expenses that you want to think about. So property taxes, depending on where you are, like we're invested in Michigan and Texas. Michigan, they take the property value, divide it in half, and that's what you get property taxed on. But you also have like income tax that you pay. Versus Texas doesn't have income tax, but you're taxed on the whole property asset. So you have to think about that with property taxes. Your mortgage payment, if the property is mortgaged, you do have to make monthly payments on that. No pay, no stay still applies.
Still applies.
Even
applies.
When your tenant is a no pay.
Insurance is going up.
Yeah, it is. It went up 36% last year. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially if you're in Florida.
Oof. That's right. Yeah. Flood insurance.
Florida is really bad right now.
Make sure you can actually get expensive. Insurance on the property you're buying if you're buying in Florida. Like, double check that.
100%.
Faux show. You know, another thing is utilities. You might be responsible for paying some or all of the utilities or yard. So think about like water, gas, electricity, yard. Think about
especially in a big apartment building or multifamily. Yeah. A lot of times there's not separate meters for those. So that's one thing to think about also. It's like, oh, does it have a separate meter? Is everybody going to be paying their own bills? 100%. Are you going to have to do that? Yeah.
It's 100%.
Right. And then your property management fees, right? So if you decide to go with a property manager, that's usually 6 to 10%, depending on your area. And then there's fees if the property manager isn't identifying a tenant, that's usually one full month's rent. Yeah. So when you're looking at the cash flow, and if every single time a tenant turns over, you've got to pay that property manager to go release it, you just went down to 11 months rent, right? After your management fee. So sometimes it's not just looking at, hey, this is what the mortgage is and this is what I'm going to cash flow. You got to make sure you're taking out all those expenses.
100% yes on that. That makes perfect sense, Kimber.
And then we talked about maintenance and repairs. And then you've got sort of miscellaneous advertising and marketing, depending on probably if it's a single family home. Mm-hmm. You might have to pay someone to, you know, put it on the MLS for you if you're not a realtor. Mm-hmm. Then you got legal fees, right? You might have to evict a tenant. Texas is a very landlord-friendly state.
Yes.
But a lot of states are not.
Mm-hmm. So in the district, we are the complete opposite. We are tenant friendly. So that's exactly right. You better have you want to get a good lease in place. You want to make sure you got a good tenant attorney if you need it, if it comes to that. Yep. But be ready.
Yeah. Knock on wood. It's been pretty easy here. We're very landlord friendly.
Yes, we are. Yeah. And our leases are very landlord friendly too.
Yes,
they are. Ours are not, so know your local jurisdiction.
So come to Texas. Pay higher tax, but you can evict. Come to
Texas. Yes. Do not come to the District of Columbia.
Yeah.
We send them to the neighboring. We're like, we'll sell your house in Washington, D.C., and you'll invest in Maryland or Virginia.
There you
so
go.
So smart.
Yeah, that makes sense. So smart. Well, you guys, this has been really good today. This is a lot of information. So if you're newer to investing, you may want to listen to this a couple of times, take some notes. Don't do that while you're driving. But we wanted to share with you all, we're so passionate about building a big business, which includes building wealth is a big part of it. So if you enjoyed this episode today, please leave us a 5-star rating and review and let us know some of your stories about investing or questions that you have. You can send them to us on social media or each of us on Instagram. You can find us there as well. We would love to help answer any questions that you have and be involved in your investing journey. And don't forget to go out there and build a big business, but more importantly, an even bigger life. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys. Bye.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.